Blog Talk Radio.
Our community have become toxic waste, and those in high places are planning to remove the toxic waste. And while we flitter and live this frivolous, foolish life, seeking pleasure from our bodies and pleasure from the bodies of others, and seeking to be famous and wealthy in this world, to be used by the power to make our people think that if you go to school and work hard, you too can be successful. That's a lie. I don't give a damn how many of you go to school and work hard. They select a few out of the mass to deceive the rest that this house is not your house. And you are going to have to think about a house of your own, because white America, listen to me good, man, cannot support you any longer. White America cannot give jobs to her millions of unemployed, much less ours. Did you hear me? Elijah Muhammad told us in the 60s we should pool our resources and get farmland, because there is no freedom without land. You remember those teachings? He said that the time of separation had come, and that we are going to have to think about building a nation of our own. You, in the 60s, you were ready to say it's nation time. You don't say that no more. Because you have been deceived into thinking that inclusion into this is your salvation. This that you want to be included in has no future. None.
Greetings and assalamu alaikum. Welcome to tonight's edition of the Time to Leave Blog Talk Radio Show. Yes, you heard the minister. We have to start thinking about a house of our own, because this is not our house. We are just above being slaves in a house. We have license. We don't have freedom. We don't have equality. We don't have justice. We're here just because we're able to serve. Once again, greetings. And Ramadan Mubarak to all our Muslim brothers and sisters who are observing the fast of Ramadan. During the context of our show, we can talk about Ramadan in communities, Ramadans in communities that are controlled by Muslims. Have any of you ever observed Ramadan in Muslim communities, whether in large Muslim communities here in the U.S., or abroad? Tell us what it's like to live in an area in a Muslim society where the laws are set by Muslims, the rules are set by Muslims, and when Ramadan comes around, then it's observed by the majority and not the minority. And this is the advantages you get when you control your own community: people that think alike, people who have the same goals, people who have the same objectives, people who have the same desires for their children and grandchildren. You know, we always have to think in the context is, how are we going to get accepted? How are we going to get from point A to point B? Because, you know, we have mothers teaching their sons not to, you know, look, you know, a white man or a police officer in the eye. which goes against the very nature of a black man, doesn't it? The nature of a black man is to face adversity and look it in the eye and deal with it and call on Allah and overcome it if necessary. But here we live in a society where, you know, mothers are telling their sons to avoid conflict, you know, to avoid confrontation. We try to avoid conflict, but, you know, times are called where we can't avoid conflict and confrontation. And when those times come, we have to meet and overcome all difficulties in our path, no matter what form it takes. So this is the show where we talk about the environments, the culture. We talk about life in our own communities and what we have to do to make that happen, how we have to think to make that happen, how we have to plan to make that happen, the resources we have to pull around us to make that happen, the mindset we have to have. This is absolutely necessary if we want to make a separate communities or communities that we control a reality. And we won't stop there. Allah commands us to turn our communities into states and our states into a nation. We're bringing in the next world. This world, as you can see, you don't have to be a scholar. You just have to be woke to see that this world doesn't have a future. And if it wasn't for the coming of God and the person, the Master Farah Muhammad, we wouldn't have a future either. I have a conversation with a lot of my customers. I have a service business where I go into people's homes and, you know, to my black customers, we talk about, you know, how things look. And the first thing most black people do, we're complaining about Donald Trump. And I tell them, I say, hey, you know, if it wasn't for God, if it wasn't for faith in God, if you look at all measures of success in America, black people don't have any hope because by every measure, our future is bleak. However, if you look at the scripture and understand it rightly, our future is bright and it's exciting. So push that one. Make a comment. Make a call. Our last show, if you enjoyed our last show, it was very dynamic. Call in and let us know how you liked that last show. Our guest last week was Farrakhan Muhammad Ali of Project Separation. He was the guest of Sister Niambi. Now, and he brought us up to date on some of the background of the separation movement that's being led, the separation project is being led by Sister Dr. Ava Muhammad. He's one of her staff members, and he shared a lot. He shared a lot of his insight. He shared a lot of his background, how he got to be with it, and some of the things he's doing. And, you know, we're attacking this, and we're attacking this beast, and we are approaching our community building from all fronts. You know, we're told to make a demand, and that's what we're doing. We're signing a petition, and we're making a demand and to be separated, to have our own communities. But we're not waiting. We're not waiting for someone to rubber stamp it, because the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan, in representing the most Honorable Elijah Muhammad, has already rubber stamped it. And so we are not waiting at the time to leave movement. We're actually moving out on our instructions, and we are working hard and striving to organize and plan a society of our own. Assalamu alaikum, Ramadan Mubarak, Dr. Ridgely. Dr. Ridgely, I thought I opened your mic.
Okay, can you hear me now?
Absolutely, I hear you. Yes, sir.
Okay, yeah, assalamu alaikum.
Malaykum.
I wanted to pose a question for the listeners. Why is teaching separation considered hate speech? As you know, they have banned Minister Farrakhan from Facebook for hate speech, and they have defined teaching separation as hate speech. So will someone please explain to me, why is teaching separation hate speech? So this is the question I'm putting out for our panel, and hopefully somebody will chime in.
Yes, sir, brothers and sisters, press that one, and I'll give your opinion on Dr. Ritchie's question. Don't be shy. Press that one and join the conversation. Everybody likes to come together, Dr. Ridley. You know, everybody likes to come together. Isn't it better when you say, let's get together and talk this thing out and let's work as a team? I mean, isn't that the definition of unity, coming together?
Well, yeah, but isn't coming together mean that you should be able to come together on your own team?
Mm.
I mean, you know, if everybody was the same and everybody's on the same page, we would not have to have forced integration. So it's evident that we have to force integration. So there is some resistance there, meaning that people evidently want to be separated. That's why they had to force integration. So now that we, as the people, are talking about separation, now that's considered hate speech. So I just want to know, why is that considered hate speech? That you would ban a man who is teaching people to love themselves and not to fight anybody, not to be the aggressor. Why is that hate speech? That we want to live in a community of our own where we can have peace and not have people who don't like us with guns to shoot us down. I don't understand how that could be considered hate speech. So that's why I'm putting that question out. Why are they, the SPLC, the ADL, they're the ones that's pushing up on Facebook and Instagram. Why are they considering the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan and the Nation of Islam as a group of haters?
If you got an answer for Dr. Ridley, press the 1 on your dial, and you'll be immediately recognized for your answer or your comment. This is the show where you can share your opinion. You won't get shot down. If you come with falsehood or misunderstanding an unreasonable statement, you may get shot down by the truth, but it won't be nothing personal. The truth is just the truth. So how'd you enjoy the guest we had last week, Brother Farrakhan, talk with the separation project, Dr. Ridley?
Well, you know, I enjoyed it a lot. And, you know, I asked a question to him about the separation movement or petition that was being developed in California. And it wasn't successful as of yet, but I was fascinated by the fact that there's people who want to separate from the United States, and yet they're not labeled a hate group. They have reasons. In particular, they felt that they were not receiving their fair share of the services from the federal government based upon the amount of taxes that the state of California pays in. And so they felt that there was taxation without representation, and therefore they wanted to separate, but yet they're not considered a hate group. So if we as black people who have not been fairly treated over 400 some odd years, you know, we want to have our own, but then why is that?
Yes, sir.
We felt that we have been taxed without proper services. Things been taken from us but not brought back. We know that the U.S. Department of Agriculture, in particular, worked against black farmers and using tax money. So why is it hate that we want to separate? So I haven't taken nobody. I haven't taken nobody yet.
No, sir. No takers on that. Oh, we just lit up. We got a caller. Caller with the last four digits, 4848. What's your name and where are you calling from?
Slum Legend, this is Brother Alvin. Calling out of Oklahoma.
We're looking at Slum, Brother Alvin.
This is Slum, Brother Alvin.
Yes, sir. Just a little short comment about that. I just think that's just like they say that calling is anti-Semitic. Like they say, it's a trick that they use to keep people from uniting. And as I'm like, I'm a teacher that when we begin to ride, that's just automatically they're going to fall. So they got to keep tricking us to stay disunited in order for them to stay up. That's all I have to say.
Well, when we talk about, you know, we say, as long as we stay disunited, they can stay up, et cetera. But let's get more specific. You know, what is meant by that? Well, what is meant by that is that we purchase everything from them, and they purchase nothing from us. They determine the wages we receive, so we work for them. Because they don't want us to have our own businesses. If we set up our own businesses, they don't support it. So we work for them, and then we buy from them. But then they won't buy from us. And therefore, they make a profit off of what they sell to us, but they won't allow us to make a profit off of them. That's why we call them bloodsuckers, and that's why they don't want us to separate, because they are feeding off of us.
Yes, sir.
A leech doesn't want you to force separation, because the leech is leeching off of you. He's a leech. And, of course, he screams and hollers. Sometimes you got to put a match to him to make him let loose, because it's a leech, and it's sucking your blood like a tick. You know, you got to put a fire on the tick's butt to make the tick head come up out of your skin. And so people can say, well, that's a terrible thing. You putting fire to a tick's butt. But, hey, but the tick is in my skin.
Mm-hmm.
So I don't hate the tick. I just want the tick out my skin. But I guess if the tick has a microphone, I guess the tick has the airway and the mass media, I guess the tick will claim that I'm abusing the tick, that I hate the tick. Well, no, tick, just get your head out my skin, sucking my blood. So I think that, you know, when we talk about why they want us to be disunited, you know, it ain't about a social thing that they're talking about. Okay? It's about how we spend our money. And as long as we are among them, or they are among us, they control our community, then they can bloodsuck us. But if we have our own territory, or we do trade and commerce with one another, then they can't bloodsuck us. And that's why, and what the basis of why they say teaching separation is hate. Because they are got their head in our skin, sucking our blood, and they don't want to let loose of us. That's just my opinion.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
Thank you, Brother Alvin.
Yes, sir. Welcome.
Anybody else? Oh, you got anything else, Brother Alvin, you want to say?
Okay. No, sir, that's all.
Anything else for the Alvin?
All right.
No, sir. I'll let somebody else speak.
Thank you, brother.
Yes, sir, you're welcome.
You know, what I like to do with our teachings and the things that we say, that we repeat, what I try to do is get beyond the surface of the speech, because, you know, and get down to the understanding of it. Because now we're at a point now that we have to explain our teachings more thoroughly. Okay? So if we
that hasn't always been the case, Dr. Ridgely?
No, it's always been the case, but we hear our teachings spoken the same way over and over again. And after a while, you forget the meaning of what you're talking about because it's, okay. it's so familiar.
Mm-hmm.
And so sometimes you have to reword it to make people think about it, because then they got to say, wait a minute, I don't know if I understand that. I don't know if I agree with that, because it's something said differently. But if we keep repeating what's been also repeated, then people say, yeah, oh, yeah, but they overlook it because they're not really listening anymore.
So let me make sure I understand what you're saying. So if case in point, when people, we've been saying we want to separate for years now, so when we talk about separation, everybody you ask what that is, everybody has a different definition. Is that an illustration of what you're talking about?
Well, no, because that, to me, the reason people have a different definition is that they're trying to find a definition that they can fit into without moving.
Okay.
You know, separation means that somebody will have to make a move. Okay, if we're going to go to have our own territory, then somebody got to make a move to the territory. And
yes, sir.
So then you come up with different meanings of separation so that I don't have to move. But like Minister Farrakhan said, in terms of the mental separation, once you sign your letter to Master Farad Muhammad asking for a new name, then that is mental separation. So that part should be done once you write that letter. From then on, you should be looking for an opportunity to physically separate.
Yes, sir. So why would you say is that not most of our understanding?
Because, okay, I have a house in upstate New York. I'm just showing you for an example. Through integration, or segregation, we were forced to live in the black community. But through integration, we have been allowed to move into different communities and so forth. And now I've got an investment in where I live at now, in upstate New York. I'm just showing you for an example. So I don't want to lose my investment. And so this is why Minister Farrakhan said Allah is going to have to make us to separate. Because
people
are attached to some things that they have worked for, and they don't want to give that up. Then you got, I mean, let's be real. Then you got some people who are already living in, just say, Georgia, which we know is probably one of those states because of Honorable Elijah Muhammad's birthplace, because it's where the farm is at. But you might have some people who live in Georgia, black people, who they got a, for instance, they may be a poverty pimp, okay? Meaning that they're making their money off of the present bad situation. Don't want things to get better because then they'd be out of a job.
Okay.
You might, you know, or you got people who don't like outsiders coming in. In other words, you know, why is this person from upstate New York coming here? You know, we don't want outsiders. So now black folks trying to come back to the South may be looked at as outsiders by the people who are already here. So, you know, it's so many different things that are in the mix as to why somebody might not want the idea of separation, because that they are living in a situation where that might disrupt something that they're doing.
Mm. So, Dr. Ridgely, if we can talk about the flip side of that, I mean, you've outlined, you bullet pointed several reasons why a people or someone may not want to separate or physically relocate. Why would somebody, what would be some of the advantages if somebody decides to do that, you know, before the mass of our people are forced to do it?
Well, let's just get to the basic of why I think, you know, why I think we should separate. Because God, we were catching hell for 400 years. And God came in the person of Master Farah Muhammad, and he said that we should separate from our open enemy. Now, that's there. It's number one, enough. Okay. Number two is that after studying our history, after being awakened by that first argument, God came and now he wants us to separate from our enemy. So then when you start studying our history, then you say, well, wait a minute. And this is, you know, I got kicked off of a Facebook, put in Facebook jail because I wrote this little piece where I said that, you know, we didn't go get white folks to civilize us. We didn't go get white folks to build our civilizations and the pyramids. We didn't do that. We didn't go to them for that. But then they came amongst us and they destroyed what we had. And mm-hmm. and now they came to America and they wiped out the natives, and they had it all to themselves. We weren't over here, and you know, in mass, we weren't over here. But then they brought us over here to build a heaven for them. So if they have shown that they need us, and if history shows that we've done better without them, then the mathematics says that we can do better again without them and let them find somebody else to enslave, maybe their own self, because it's evident that they can't do good by themselves.
Yes, sir.
So I just want to be able to go back to when we were great, and we were great when we were in a territory, and secure territory of our own. That's what I want to say.
Well, someone, you said something that spurred someone's interest. We got a caller. Caller with the last four digits, 7769. What's your name and where are you calling from?
At Carmelita. Half of Ramadan Sabal took it to Lord's Mama, St. Louis.
Well, let him smile,
ma'am.
This is Lord.
Yes, ma'am. Yeah, okay. I understand what you're saying. You're trying to explain to people about separation. Okay. I learned when I coming up. That's why I be studying a lot. Okay. Master Farah Muhammad came first to Master Farah Muhammad in 1930 and gave all that book, 104 books, and cared of what's going on here, and cared of what food you're not supposed to eat, and want us to separate it. You ain't got to worry about getting killed. You ain't got to worry about being around with all good, blame, bam, and all. That's what Allah did. Allah talked, you know, Muhammad, Mr. Falcon, told everybody separate. They don't want to follow Allah. You got to obey Allah. Okay? And because Allah wants us to be happy, your life and fast, And you had your own community, because we had our own community a long time ago before they brought them over here in the boat. Because they don't want to live unwise and uncivilized. They want to act like other demons. That's why they separate. That's why we all messed up. That's why Master Paul Muhammad came. And you got to say, if you don't want to separate it, you said black people getting off the bus, walking down the street, got shot. 5 people. You don't need to be around all the guns and you got good all around the area. We need to separate. We need to live a beautiful home, pretty dress, everything. Look at the white man got. We ain't got nothing. You paying all that money to the white man. They ain't don't use us for 164 years. And what's the best say? Why does the devil call our idiots? After so that he can use them for a tool, a slave, keep them blind, them thick. He can't mess you. It'll mean it. That's what they want. All they do, I can tell you, hey, you can try some good, it makes you give you cancer, keep having, you can help your teeth better, all kind of better. They lying on us. That's all they doing, lying.
That's right.
Why Allah came and told us to come step away and get all them children out of school. We need our own community. You open up your own store, make your own money. You ain't got to worry about it.
Well, thank you, Sister Dolores. I want to emphasize one point you just made about how dangerous our communities are. And you, like myself, remember when our communities were not dangerous like that. So the question is, how did it become dangerous? And now we know that they're the ones who brought the drugs in our community. And then I was in an argument with a Negro, and he said, well, just because they brought the drugs don't mean that we had to take them. And, now what they did is that they came with drugs, and then they would give it to you.
Right.
And then give it to you, and then my understanding for cocaine and crack cocaine is that once you taste it one time that high, then for the rest of your life you're trying to get back to that because
that first high
is so powerful, euphoric. So then if someone comes and corrupts you, then instead of blaming the corrupter, people turn on the corrupted, the victim, and blame them. So we have a history now of what happened to our community. We know how our communities were before integration, and we know how our communities became afterwards, and yet we act like we don't understand because a few of us have been able to do well in that situation, and they don't want to be involved in no struggle because they are living at ease until, in fact, they get drive-by killing or robbed, and then they want somebody to do something. But they don't want to deal with changing that environment, controlling their community, being involved with their community.
Right.
Thank you very much.
And you don't have to live
Dolores.
Like this. That's right. Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
We don't have to live like this. You're right.
But
you know, most people just want to drink beer and have babies. What I mean by that, most people just want to not get involved in the struggle. They just want to benefit from whatever is available. They just want to, they don't want to fight. They want peace, but they don't want to fight the peace breaker, especially once they know that there is a peace breaker. They don't want to fight. They just want peace. Well, you can't have peace if there's a peace breaker, but then they want somebody else to do the fighting while they sit on the sidelines.
That's right. And everybody got to learn how to stand up for the right.
That's right.
Mm-hmm.
Thank you so much.
Thank you very much, Paul, Sister Dolores. We always appreciate you calling and sharing your observation and your opinions, and please continue to listen and call in.
That's right. Listen every Tuesday.
Allah. As-salamu
alaykum.
It's always good to hear from sister. She always puts that personal perspective on it. And, you know, it's a personal thing. You know, if it's not personal now, it's going to be personal real soon.
Well, she understands the teachings, and for her it's simple, and it is simple. Okay, we just try to make it complicated because we don't want to move. We don't want to have to be involved. You know what in the so-called first resurrection. I remember that you couldn't come to the temple but three times to hear the teachings and not accept. If you didn't
really?
After three times coming to the temple and listening to the teachings, you couldn't come back no more.
Wow.
Until
I didn't know that.
You were ready to join. Yeah. After three times.
Yeah, I
so,
knew people coming to my mosque that I used to go to. They'd be coming years and never process or be processing for years.
No, in the first, I know where I was at in North Carolina, Winston-Salem, North Carolina, that you come three times, and if you don't accept by that, you can't come back until you're ready to accept.
Wow.
Now, you know, at that period of time, there's only a few places where you can get the teaching, and that was the temple. What we were teaching, you couldn't get it from no place else.
Right.
And the teaching is what's called a wake-up call. Other words, it's to wake you up. Now, once you've heard the teachings, and if that don't wake you up, then we must allow you to go back to sleep. There's no need of you hanging around us because you are not. This teaching has not awakened the God in you. Master Farah Muhammad came over here to build a nation of gods. So the teachings is supposed to attach itself to the God in you and wake you up. If it doesn't do that, then you may be a nice person, but you're not ready for the process to be processed into a God yet.
Yes,
so
sir.
We just have to throw you back overboard. But now everybody has access to the internet. You know, it's like the situation with Facebook. You know, really it may be a blessing that they've done what they have done. Because now people got to go directly to the source, and they can't get it off of Facebook. They're going to have to go to a brother or a sister, to the nation, to the mosque, to the final call. They're going to
right.
They begin to have to realize that, hey, this is a war. This ain't no game. This knowledge is to get you to do something, not just so you can suck up on the knowledge from the minister and then go out and talk and teach like you know something, but yet you don't want to support the program to build something. So
that's right.
Now, you know, that's maybe cut off. No more free lunch. You should know enough now to make a decision. So this is why
right.
Minister Ava is going around with the separation petition, because now you've heard enough. Are you ready to make a decision? So Facebook banning the minister is forcing us to be ready to make a decision. It ain't going to be okie dokie forever. Okay?
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. I agree. So brothers and sisters, what do you think about this conversation we're having? Please press the 1 on your phone to be recognized and be in the queue if you have a question or a comment. We're talking about
and Brother Carlton.
Yes, sir.
What's on for next week?
For next week we have Brother Yusuf Muhammad. He's Sister Andrea's guest. He is a disaster preparedness expert.
Oh, okay. That should be interesting. There's
yes,
a lot
sir.
Of disasters
yes,
coming
sir.
Now, buddy.
Yeah, and communities. Yes, sir. And that's part of the design of an intelligent community. If you understand your environment and you understand that you could be, if you're not prepared for disaster, it can be the end of your community. And we have a caller. Caller, I recognize this number with the last four digits, 0094. What's your name and where are you calling from?
Hi, so I'm like, time to leave family. This is Sister Majida calling, and I'm calling right now via Oakland, California.
Walaikum salam.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. You know, I'm taking a minute from all this so-called important things that I'm doing right now, and I'm listening, and, you know, I was thinking about what Sister Dolores was saying and just talking about how simple the process is. And you had said, Dr. Ridgely, that it is simple. We're just making it complicated. And I'm here, you know, handling some very important, complicated business. But in the midst of it, I see how complicated our lives are. And I'm here with my family in California, and I see how they're living, and a lot of us are living here. And even though the teachings are simple, and we know they're simple, and we know the solution is simple, but I just see how we've made our lives so complicated that I don't even see how we can, some of us, could even think about separation, because we're trying to get from point A to point B.
Mm.
And for two
minutes... Give us some examples, sister, not without names, or some examples of what do you mean by how they're completely tied up and can't even think about separation.
Exactly. Well, I know a sister, and she's not an oddity at all. You know, she is like a lot of the young sisters here. They have jobs that they have to drive. Hour, 2 hours in traffic too. They have children. So, you know, by the time you get up in the morning, get yourself and your child or your husband ready, and let's just say you live in Pinole, and you decide the only way you can get a job is to be in San Francisco. So in order to get there in a reasonable amount of time, you have to get up early in the morning, let's just say 5 o'clock in the morning, and get on the road by 6 to hope to get there by 8. And then you turn around at the end of your day, and you face that same obstacle coming back. So you're sitting in miles of traffic, and you're not thinking about separation. You're thinking about getting home so you can have some ease because it's hard the way things are set up. You're not thinking about separation. You're thinking about getting home. Hopefully you have enough time to get dinner, to do some homework with your child, to spend some time with your child, and then get up and do it all over again.
So
it's just
survival.
Exactly.
And, then you know, this is one of our history, you know, it rewards our research. I'll oblige Muhammad say history rewards our research. There was a group of savages up in the Caucasus Mountains. You know, that's where we put them at for 2,000 years.
Mm-hmm.
And the way they would fight when they came out from the mountains down into the valleys to attack the indigenous people, they would attack them, and then they would run back to the mountains.
Hmm.
And when the army came after them, what they would do is destroy all the crops behind them and poison all the water wells behind them.
Mm.
So that by the time the troops catch up with them, they're so weak that it's easy for them to destroy them. That's how they would fight. They would destroy what was behind them. So here we are. They destroyed our communities. They destroyed our businesses. And now we have to, drive 2 hours for a job. then that's wearing you out. That's just wearing you out. And it, and you're trying to keep up, and they're wearing you out. Every time you think that you're catching up, something else happens in your life that you got to now you got more expenses, and it's not enough. So you continually on this treadmill, and they're just wearing
exactly
out. This is scientific.
Exactly.
What they're doing.
Exactly.
They know exactly what they're doing to our lives. And here we're trying to fix our lives within a system designed to swallow you up and to suck you clean. All we
yes,
say we're going to have to pull out. You're not going to be able to win in this situation where they control the wages and they control the cost of living. You cannot work your way out from underneath them because they control the wages and the cost of living. You have to pull out.
That's right. That's right. And, you know, it's something because, you know, you can't say balance because it's an imbalanced situation. And there's nothing you can do in this situation to have real balance. But it's almost like they give you the illusion that it's not as bad as you think it is.
Right.
Because in these cities especially, they put enough conveniences at your fingertips. So even though I just went through 2 hours of traffic and I'm just on this crazy, unsustainable treadmill, I have this little store over here I like, and I have that little store over here I like, and I have that little store over here I like, where I can get those things to placate, pacify all of that pain and stress. And so I'm able to do it again another day. It's just, it's sad. It really is sad. It really is sad because we're living unsustainable lifestyles, but we don't even see it because we're in it. And this is our life. This is our life. We don't necessarily like it the way it is, but this is our life. They said on the news that 71% of black folks and young black folks are moving out of these cities and moving out into the suburbs because they cannot afford to live here. You got grown adult folks moving back in with their parents so that they can afford to live and then go to these places where they have almost like put the jobs out on the periphery. So you don't have anything to do but to drive to them if you want a decent wage. It's almost like we're sitting on a giant board. Well, it is. It is like that, but not literally on a giant board. But it's like we're sitting on a giant board, and they're just moving us around and putting certain things in place. But we don't see it. And that's the sad part for me here. I can't wait to get home. But I can't wait to get home, I tell you. And I just pray to Allah that nothing happens to me in this city while I'm in here. I can't wait to get home to see what real life is. We're living down there. We're living. This is not life up here, but we don't know that.
Well, you know, the minister said that we're just like dust. They just move us around.
Mm-hmm.
They sit and they look at they don't sit and look at what's going to happen 10 years from now. They plan what's going to happen 10 years from now.
Right.
And we don't even know about the plan. And next thing you know, we're on the wrong side of this plan, and now we got to make a move because, boom, I got to move. They put a transportation system right through my house. So I got to move. But that's a plan for 10 to 15 years. But they didn't let you know that. And so it's just like that in the whole system. They sit and plan. I mean, if they can tell you a drug, if you take this drug, you might have a fatal incident. What do you mean? Fatal incident? I mean, I'd be dead.
Right.
But yet to advertise it, that means that some people go out and buy it. That's just the state that we're in. Even when they tell you this could kill you, this isn't good for you, we still do it because they say it with a smile. And so when we angry black Muslims say we want to separate, they call that hate. Because we say, hey, we want out of here. They say, no, you can't talk like that. You can't talk. What you mean I can't talk like that? No freedom of speech for me? No, you stay there and smile. Matter of fact, we gonna strip search you, and you better not say nothing when we strip search you at the airport. Why you, Mr. Muhammad? How come you got a frown on your face? What the hell are you talking about? How come I got a frown on my face? You frisking me.
But you know what? You know what? And I. Right. I almost feel like Chicken Little up here. Like I'm the only one that feels like the sky is falling. So sometimes I just have to hold my peace. But, you know, it's not going to be a reality for so many of us until we develop those examples. It's just not, because it's all a pipe dream in our minds while we're trying to survive. Because we don't even see the reality of it in all that we have to deal with on a regular basis. So it's almost like a pipe dream. Okay, you go on with that, and until that's evident, I'm in this. This is my reality right here.
So, Sister Majida, you made a statement.
Sir.
You can't wait to get home. And I know I talked to Brother Carlton the other day, and he was talking about how he's just so glad that he, for a year, he hasn't had to go back to California. He's got his business going in Georgia. What is it like, y'all, to be free? I mean, what's the difference between your life now and your life just a few years ago in Oakland?
Well, let me just say, I think it goes in phases, though. Like I said, so many of us are in this situation that we're in, and we don't even realize there's anything else. So we don't know how bad it is. And so we went through that stage of just existence, you know, this is how it is. But at the same time, we had the desire for more. So I guess it depends on each individual's desire for more. What do you desire for yourself? And so because we had the desire for more, and we knew there was more, especially, you know, we're in the teachings. So we're promised more. So based on that promise, how do you not want to drive for that? So we moved, but it was time to move for us. It was time to move mentally, spiritually, and physically in many ways. It was time to move. And so once we did, of course it was an adjustment because it was something different, something new, but always in our minds, we were making the decision from the beginning that was best for us. So we didn't have any doubt of whether we were going to make it. We knew we were making the decision that was best for us because what was working, and we used the mathematics of movement. Where we currently were was not working. That was not sustainable. We saw that. We did the math on it. It wasn't sustainable. So we were ready to go. We desired more for ourselves. We knew we weren't going to get it where we were, and we desired community among like-minded people such as yourself and Sister Ann. So I keep saying desire, and I know we say that. It's like, what do you want? What do you want? And do you believe you have the ability to get it? That's my thing. I don't understand that. Do we want more with the teachings? The teachings make us want more. So what is the matter with you that you don't strive for more? I mean, and I'm just saying, I'm not asking anybody, you know, what's the matter with you, but, you know, the teachings, you know, they wake us up, and they wake within us the desire to be all that we can be. And we can't be that in these cities among them. We know we can't. We know that we can't.
I say,
but it's the best decision we made. I just have to say, it's the best decision we made. It really is. And I understand it more and more and more and more every time I'm out of it. And this is the first time I've been out of it this long. And I tell you, it has not been easy. It has not been easy because I feel like now I'm living outside of my element. I feel like I had a sense of freedom where I was in our home, and now I'm confined. I'm confined in so many ways while I try to come back to this city and all that it has, and you know, for us, it's just, you can see it even more once you step away from it long enough, because we've been in Georgia now 5 years. And once you come back into an environment like this, you can tell, it's almost like leaving freedom, justice, and equality and coming back to slavery, suffering, and death. It's crazy. And I might be a little, might have to need some detox when I get back.
Roll the call.
Yeah, Sister Ann, I opened up Sister Ann's microphone. Sister Ann, we have 5 minutes left. Did you want to make some comments?
Well, you know, I don't really have to. I was just enjoying Sister Majida. And,
hi, Assalamu alaikum, Sister Ann.
And wa alaikum salam. Wa alaikum salam.
Praise the Lord.
And yeah, it is so good to hear that you are enjoying missing.
Oh my gosh. My gosh.
And we
my gosh.
Miss you. Okay.
Praise be to Allah. Praise be to Allah. Thank you. Praise be to Allah.
That was all.
But you know.
Go ahead.
Go ahead, Sister Majida.
Oh, no. I was just going to say, you know, this and what I'm doing and why I'm here, it just bears witness to. And we talk about it, about how so much of our family is still in these I call them non-sustainable living systems that, you know, I'm here to help us get out of one of those. You know, and there's so many of us that desire to live and be free and be in community, but we have all these situations that just don't allow us to do it. They just don't. You know, they just don't. But we got to free ourselves. We got to free ourselves. We really do. We have to live simpler. We have to cut off all this excess that's keeping us in these places that we are in. And we've got to get to that, because it's going to be a hard job when we're forced to do it and we haven't put anything in place to start doing it. If you don't start preparing now to separate, I don't understand you.
What we have to do is we have to take the red pill, because we're all hooked into that machine called the Matrix, and we don't think that
Man.
There's anything outside of it. You know, we can't mm-hmm. see anything outside of it. We can't feel anything outside of it.
Right.
And if anyone tries to suggest that there's anything outside of it, we think they're crazy. So
right.
We've been introduced to the red pill, and that's what we have to do. So
Praise
any closing
God.
Statements in the last couple of minutes before we close the show? But praise be
well,
to Allah. I want to thank. Go ahead. We have. Go ahead, Dr. Ridley.
No, I was just the testimony of. I have a reputation of being a very mean dude, right? And the testimony from you and Sister Majida is so important for me and Sister Ann, because, you know, people they may look at making a move down here as being so tough, okay, and that, you know, but yet for people who've made the move, they're glad they made the move.
Yes,
that's
so,
right.
You know, so it's just important for you all to let people know every now and then how y'all doing, because you know, they may think that it's a pipe dream. But
no.
It's not. Both of you all came and have made a living for yourself, and now in the future you all will be able to hire people.
Yes,
so
sir.
It's just a success story that has to be told every now and then. So thank y'all so much. That's all I'm
saying. Thank you.
And listeners, we look forward to having you next week on the Time to Leave Blog Talk Radio Show, where we'll have our guest, Brother Yusuf Muhammad, and those of you who have an interest in survival. Everybody should have an interest in survival preparation. Tune in next week. Tell your friends and family, and we look forward to having you. And may Allah bless you all, and Ramadan Mubarak. Assalamu alaikum. Out of my skull, my grandma passed.
Ramadan and Baba, they went down to Peace Street. Headliner, I challenge you to a game of horseshoes. A game of horseshoes.
Now I see the importance of history. Why my people be in the mess that they be. Many journeys to freedom made in vain. By brothers on the corner playing ghetto games. I ask you, Lord, why you enlighten me without the enlightenment of all my folks. Instead, cause I set myself on a quest for truth. And he was there to quench my thirst. But I am still thirsty.